Okay. I don't know if you know, but a few months ago in the Philippines, there was a new government came to power, and the new prime minister, in his election manifesto, declared war on all drug dealers and all drugs. His methods of achieving his aims lie somewhere between crude and absolutely disgusting, depending on where you stand. Because in July, for instance, hundreds of mutilated corpses of drug dealers who were found murdered in the street, often with a crude cardboard sign written on the corpse, attached to the corpse, saying this man was a drug dealer. Now, the reason I'm telling you that, the point of the story is, even though his methods might be questionable, shall we say, brutal, whatever, what's happened is this: more than 565,000 drug dealers have voluntarily handed themselves into prison. They've given themselves into custody. More than 500,000 drug dealers have walked into the police station with their hands up and said, I'm a drug dealer, please bang me up in prison. Now, why have they done that? Because that's what fear does. They are terrified that they're going to be the next corpse in the alley. Absolute fear. They pleaded guilty, they've told the truth, they've owned up, and they're hoping that that's the one gate, the one door to safety and freedom. That's why they've done it. Now, Jesus says here, and it's very easy to understand this passage, isn't it? He says, I am the gate. I am the door. There's not a selection of gates. There's not lots of doors, and his is a bit better than the others. There's only one gate, one door to safety. We were staying on a farm last week in outside Aberystwyth, and one day came home, and the gate was closed. Now, that was the only way in. You had to get out and open the gate. And Jesus says, it's not that he just knows where the door is, or he's willing to tell you the combination to the lock. He is the gate. He actually is the door. I remember a number of years ago on December evening giving out some leaflets in the dark, walking around the streets, and a lady, there were a lot of teenagers, but this was a lady, and I asked her, well, you know, you celebrate Christmas, oh yeah, well, who is Jesus then? Oh, he's a messenger from God, she said. Okay, he's a messenger from God. If so, what was his message? Silence. I said, no, he wasn't just a messenger, he is the message. He is the gospel. He is the gate. He is the door. Whoever enters by Christ will be saved. But he's the only door. And you'll be if you enter by Christ, you'll be saved whether you die in an alley or in a nice comfy bed in hospital. Because if you enter by him, no one and nothing can prevent you from being saved. That's the wonderful thing. That's why he has made me glad. I could sing that this morning. Could you sing that? I mean it. See, I read of a well-known Christian organization who are active in Rio at the moment with the Olympics going on, using the Bible to promote tolerance, kindness, unity. Fine. Fine. As long as they admit, or better than that, emphasize that tolerance, kindness, unity are not the main message of the Bible. The main message of the Bible is salvation, and it is exclusive. It's only in Jesus Christ. He's the only door. Jesus says here, he couldn't be more clear, everybody else is a thief and a robber. Well, what do they steal? Souls. They steal souls. I was reading just this week in my own quiet time in Luke chapter 6 about the blind leaders leading the blind people. Religion's useless, man. Absolutely useless. Unless it changes me eternally. And only Jesus can do that. Every other religion, you've heard this hundreds of times, every other religion is about working your way up to nirvana or glory or heaven or paradise or whatever. Christianity is the only one that says, no, 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 you can't do it. The Son of God, God the Son, will come all the way down, not just all the way down to earth, but all the way down to hell. Because he's the only door. Now the question is, have you entered through him? Somebody almost 20 years ago now offered us a holiday. Some very kind Christians who lived in Switzerland, offered us their house in Switzerland. And 2 weeks free of charge, tremendous. And off we went. Now imagine somebody offered you a month's holiday starting tomorrow, and you, including the flight and everything, everything's paid for, right? And you arrive now, oh, the weather's fabulous, the place is stunning. After a few days, you start to notice certain things, and after a few weeks, you definitely notice there's no litter, none at all. There's no blasphemy. Nobody takes the Lord's name in vain. There's no dog poo on the pavement. There's no spoilt kids having tantrums. There's no lazy parents ignoring their children. Hang on, you start to think, hang on. And there's no crime. Wouldn't you start to think, this is a nice place, wouldn't you? And then you notice, hang on, there's no hospital sign anywhere. In fact, you find out there is no hospital. Nobody ever gets sick. There's no graveyard. There's no funeral director. And you were convinced by now, this is a tremendous place. Now, a tremendous place. Now, you magnify that 100 billion times, and you're not getting close to heaven. Now, that's tremendous, isn't it? Because the best thing about heaven is he's there. He's there. And he's the door. In Aberystwyth, where we were staying last week, our door was very difficult to open. I had to fiddle with the key for a few seconds every time. I couldn't just put it in and open the door. Now, is this door easy to open? No, it's impossible to open. You can't open the door. You can't open the door. Unless he opens the door to you, for you, you can't enter. This is the frightening thing. You sit in church, you see. You can't enter, no matter how much you pray, or how much you read your Bible, or how often you go to church. Only he is the door. See, you can't persuade him to open the door. You must enter by him. You must trust him. You must pin all your hopes on him. That's what it means. Imagine this now. You find yourself in a huge room, and it's packed with people. A lot of them seem to be enjoying themselves. There's a little kiosk over there if you like music, and next door is one if you like model railways, and one next door if you like opera, and one next door if you're interested in politics, or you're interested in science, or you're interested in maths, or you're interested in sport, or whatever. And there's something for everybody, and it's packed. And suddenly, a lady in front of you drops dead. And then a bloke behind you drops dead. And you suddenly see a flashing sign saying, the average stay in this room is 78 minutes. And you start thinking, hang on, how long have I been here? Hang on, average 78 minutes. But that's the average. And she's dead, and he's dead. How long have I been here? And then you see another sign flashing, no one has ever stayed longer than 120 minutes. Now you start to panic. Hang on. And then you see a door. And a guy standing outside the door. And a big flashing sign saying, this door is the only door out. And beyond this door is freedom. In fact, the man announces that everybody in there is poisoned. That's where they drop in like flies. Everybody's poisoned with the same virus, or same whatever it is. But beyond the door is one guy, and he's got a syringe. And he's got the antidote. Now, wouldn't you at least think about going through the door? Wouldn't you? Or wouldn't you just say, well, what? I got nothing to lose. Wouldn't you just run through the door? Here we are, average stay on planet Earth, 78 years. That's the average. We're all poisoned by sin. We all die. We don't know when. There's one door, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you gone through the door? I read this week in Psalm 114. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Have you ever trembled? Thought of meeting God? Have you? Be honest, some of you were far too casual, far too blasé about it all. You assume because you come to church often enough and read your Bible and say your prayers that it's okay. But Jesus is spelling it out to you. He is the door. Soon the poison will do its work, and you will die, and I will die. I'm planning later after this service to go to a Singleton hospital to visit somebody I've never met because the relatives fear she's dying. We're all dying. They just fear she's dying soon. That's all. We're all dying. You face death. And you won't be casual then. You won't be casual. You know, I was reading in Ezekiel 29 about the massive Egyptian empire with Pharaoh at the head, you know, and Almighty God speaking to Pharaoh. I am against you, Pharaoh. I'm going to give you as food to the beasts of the earth and the birds of the air. And the Lord blew, and the Egyptian empire gone. Is Egypt a world power today? Hardly. It was a vast empire. What happened? The Lord spoke. He breathed. That was it. All over. Tremble, O earth. Tremble, O town hill. But you're not trembling. And some of you need to tremble. Almighty God has provided one way out. He is the door. He is the gate. The Lord Jesus Christ. It couldn't be clearer. It couldn't be simpler. It's not complicated. There's no salvation for being in church. There's no salvation for being nice. Understanding the cross, working in toddlers, working in Sunday school, driving the bus, standing here preaching. There's no salvation for any of those things. I always remember going to a big church meeting not far from here, and they interviewed the longest serving member. He'd been there 35 years. And he said, this was his testimony. Oh, well, he said, I came here 35 years ago and it all made sense and I've stayed. Well, that's frightening. That is dangerous. There's no salvation for making sense of it. There's no salvation for understanding the cross. You've got to be saved. Many years ago, there was a young man called John Stott, brought up in church, liked church, worked in church, read the Bible, understood it, taught other people and so on. And one day he said, I realized there was the door. I'd shoved prayers under the door. I'd shoved my collection through the letterbox. I'd never gone through the door. Have you gone through the door? Have you? I was in Cardiff University probably about 15 years ago, and after a message a bit like this, a guy came up. He was a Sikh, Eastern religion, and he just said, if you don't mind me saying it, it all smacks of blackmail. And I just said, okay, imagine there's a fire here in this room right now. There's a fire, and I'm telling you, that is the only door out. Am I blackmailing you? I'm telling you, unless you go through that door, you are going to burn. Am I blackmailing you? This is safety. And that's what Jesus is saying now. He's the door. Now you need to go to him. I can't help you at all. I can't help you at all. You need to go to him. And if you don't know what that means, you need to keep calling upon him until you do know what it means. And beg him to save you. And don't give up begging until you know that he has saved you. And you've gone through the door. And he's yours. And you are his. Amen. Well, let's sing. There is.